The hour of 10:40 AM arrived. We'll call the House Tax Committee to order when we have a quorum. So let's start with House File 968, Representative Nornes, Chairman Nornes. Is not here. McDonald's on the committee. Davis on the committee. House File 1978, Representative Olson. Okay, looks like she's prepared.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. In sticking with the freshman tradition, I have sweetened the deal with some brownies.
Oh, that's wonderful. Very, very nice. Very nice. Okay, next bill. I will move House File, members, I will move House File 1970 and 8, and I see no amendments.
Actually, Mr. Chair, I do have an amendment.
Oh, there's an amendment being passed out, an author's amendment? Okay, we will not act on that. Well, we won't act on it until we actually have a quorum.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah,
I want to point out for the future, being that this is a committee that likes to treat, that's not just the freshman tradition, it's anybody at the front table.
That will be a good rule change.
Well, I don't know, but
I like that.
The education committee was anybody.
It was anybody.
That's right.
Then you know you're always better.
So,
We do have a quorum, so I'll officially call the House Tax Committee to order. Okay, I will move House File 1970 and 8. Members, I will now move the author's amendment, H1978A1. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Okay, we now have House File 1970 as amended. Two-year bill, Representative Olson.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And just to the amendment that I offered narrows the scope of this bill from what it was the intention and really gets it in line with the intention of the bill. So just thank you for moving that. So, Mr. Chair and members, House File 1978 would change the tax-exempt status of the Duluth Heritage Sports Center so as to not pay sales tax. The Duluth Heritage Sports Center is an integral part of our Duluth community and the broader region and state. It's probably best known as a hockey center and is used by many youth and community groups, including schools and other in our youth hockey association. In addition, the center hosts in many activities and partnerships with local and regional community groups and has space for the Boys and Girls Club to meet. The geography is also important to where this center is located, in the heart of the Lincoln Park neighborhood in Duluth, which is a key part of where we're trying to do more outreach and more engagement around youth activities for folks who need it most. The Sports Center runs on a shoestring budget with many volunteers, including my testifier here today, Anita Stetch. This bill would enable them to keep serving the youth in our community and region and makes it a more level playing field with other private nonprofit arenas like that of the Duluth Heritage Center. So with that, I'll turn it over to my testifier.
Before we do that, is there anyone in the audience wish to testify against the bill? Anyone with concerns? Would the department like to testify on this bill?
Not at this time, Mr. Chair.
So do you know what that means in this committee? You probably don't. That means it gets to be Jimmy John's Freaky Fast. But since she drove all the way, she's got to be able to validate her mileage, so we'll let her talk with it. But with that being said, now this is the one right off the interstate where you've got the Clive Ironworks?
Correct.
Oh, that's a good place.
Yes, it is.
Very delicious, yes. Please state your name for the record, please.
My name is Anita Stetch. From Duluth, I am a Sunshine Health Duluth Heritage Sports Center board member and a volunteer at the center.
Okay. Now, you're a resource to answer questions?
I can do that, or I can tell you.
Oh, tell us. You drove a long way. Tell us what you got.
I can talk fast.
Very briefly.
First of all, thank you.
But thoroughly.
Thank you. When I was a young girl growing up in Duluth, do you want me to start with that? Okay. Thank you, Chair Davis and committee members, for this opportunity, and thank you also for sponsoring this bill and to Representative Olson and Representative Schultz. I want to tell you a little bit about the center. You heard from Representative Olson. We are a private nonprofit 501c3 corporation. We constructed, we own and operate the center on behalf of our partner organizations. That's Duluth Amateur Hockey Association, City of Duluth, ISD 709, and the Boys and Girls Club of the Northland. This whole thing came about after one of the City of Duluth's two ice arenas burned down in 2014. At that time, the City of Duluth did not have the resources to rebuild it, nor did the school district. So we looked to community volunteers. And this is kind of the fun story I want to tell you, because they responded greatly. We had over 300 volunteers took part in donating time, money, and efforts. We formed a nonprofit corporation in 2007. The facility is a $20 million facility. It opened in 2008 with two ice arenas, and one of which is converted to floor space in the summertime, and for all kinds of events. The center was primarily paid for by private contributions of approximately $14 million. That's how many people stepped forward in the City of Duluth to help us. Since opening, the long-term debt's been reduced by $10 million. We've done a lot of work. The center doesn't receive public capital or operating subsidies from the city, the school district, or the state of Minnesota. We go this alone. We're doing this by ourselves here, and we're really proud of that. In 2008, the center was awarded the Best Economic Development Project in Minnesota. In 2015, we were awarded the Best Ambassador for Hockey in Minnesota, and that was the Let's Play Hockey Leaders, and they've seen a lot of hockey arenas in town. In the state, and we even triumphed over Herb Brooks for this one. So the bill would exempt us from, we are exempt from federal and state income taxes and Minnesota property taxes. This bill would extend that to sales tax. We meet and exceed the tests for revenue and property tax exemption. As a charitable organization, we ask that we would qualify for this one as well. What we will do is the impact of about $55,000 in relief. And that could be used to reduce the cost of participation, which is a big deal in hockey, by our partner organizations, and we could also expand new programming. So please ask for support of House File 1978.
Thank you very much for your testimony. I have one question for Ms. Dalton. Is this the arena that's the only one that gets taxed like this, and all the others are exempt across the state and the rest of the world?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I don't know that it's the only one. I do think what's probably unusual about this, based on her testimony, is that it is the center is owned by the nonprofit. It's not actually owned by the city. Most hockey associations, the city owns the arena, and then they get supplemental payments from the hockey association.
Okay. Thank you. Questions from members? If not, I will renew my motion to House File 1978 as amended to be later for possible inclusion in the omnibus text. Oh, just I back off on it.
You signed up, Mr. Chairman.
You did?
Oh, that.
What is that uniform? Oh, you're on the back page. Okay.
As usual.
Yes. Now, in talking to Representative Lilly, in about 10 minutes, I believe that a team called the Hillmary Pioneers are going to be whooping on somebody. Who would that be?
I don't know, because it won't be the Spuds.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman and members, I'm Joel Carlson. I'm a member of the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission. I'm here on behalf of the Amateur Sports Commission to lend our support to this legislation. There are about 170 associations across the country, or across the state, excuse me, that would benefit. And what a fitting bill to have here today when the Spuds are taking on Hill Murray in their 19th appearance in the big show. We also hold the record of being second most times of any team, and we've never won it. This is going to be our year, Representative Marcourt. We operate at the Amateur Sports Commission through the National Sports Center Foundation, a nonprofit corporation, the largest indoor ice complex in the country. We have eight ice sheets there. We have the Herb Brooks Training Center. This is an excellent idea and would be a benefit to a number of youth hockey associations. I also represent Minnesota Hockey on a pro bono basis. We have 65,000 households participating in hockey. I've actually played at this arena, and it's beautiful. So we'd appreciate your consideration of this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Mr. Carlson. And the chair apologizes to you. I need to turn my page over.
No worries.
You were here. You were here.
Yes.
So you have taken second more than anybody else, more than Hermantown?
More than her, yeah. Well, we play in the Hermantown's in the A, we're in the double A, but we ousted South St. Paul, who had been the leading number two team for years, and we beat them at our last appearance in the tournament. So we hope to break that streak.
We'll be watching. Chair Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I have a question either of staff or Representative Anderson, because we had a bill up the other day dealing with the Plymouth Ice Arena sales taxes, and I'm looking at the summary here, and it says the if purchases made directly by the organization but does not cover materials purchased by a contractor under a lump sum contract. And the previous bills, did they limit it to directly purchased by, in the case of Plymouth, it would be the city, to just what they purchase, or did we have it a bit broader? Because most of those ice arenas, when you get involved with capital improvements, are going to be dealing with contractors.
Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, this bill does not deal with contractors. The bill for Plymouth actually did. It kind of depends on where we put it into the law. If we write it into the construction exemptions, part of the statute, there is a contractor exemption inclusion in all of those unless we specifically exclude them. For the rest of the sales tax exemptions, unless we specifically include contractors, it does not cover contractor purchases.
And Mr. Chair, the reason I raised that question, to make it work for Plymouth, we had to include contractors. And that's what we did, is what we're saying, or I shouldn't say we, what Representative Anderson did, because it was her bill. I only say we because I do represent part of Plymouth. And this one restricts it to just purchases by the nonprofit, even though it would involve capital improvements initially. So I think you probably should take a good look at, probably, if you want to get more help at a broader interpretation. I think that would be a plus, being that we've had other bills, and as you point out, depends on where in the statute it apparently is placed. But I'll stop there.
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, the bill as drafted is for the operating costs, not the capital costs. Mm-hmm. So it's for the operating expenses of running the arenas.
Chair Carlson.
Well, when I was reading the summary, it made reference to, I don't see the summary, oh, here. It seemed to say that they were specifically exempting capital improvements. Covers materials and supplies for capital improvements if purchased directly by the organization. That's the part that I was picking up on.
Ms. Dalton?
Because we did have a discussion about, with not the Plymouth one, but another one, if I recall correctly, about with other current law, how you included contractors or if you didn't include contractors. And at any rate, that may be an important discussion. I don't know what the total goals of Duluth are. You know, this obviously helps the way it's drafted, but it is a little bit more restrictive than what has been before us before.
Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, I think I'll try to clarify this a little. If they were doing some, like, minor maintenance, and they were doing it, you know, and I have no idea, like, rebuilding the locker, you know, a locker area or something like that, where they bought their capital materials, the tile, the cement, things like that. Yes, that would certainly be covered. If they were going to go build a whole new ice arena, they would have to structure their contract in a very unique, what, you know, the way that everyone says they don't like to structure it, where they buy the materials separately and then they do a contractor labor-only contract. But my understanding is the intent of this bill is really to kind of cover the day-to-day operation costs, not a major capital improvement, which is what I believe is looking at.
Chair Carlson.
And Mr. Chairman, actually, we had a discussion about construction and sales taxes and capital investment yesterday. There wasn't a bill before us, but we were talking about roads and bridges and the impact of the sales tax on materials. So it is an important issue that's before us. And looks like this bill, in my view, is in the right step in the right direction, but I thought maybe they might be interested in going a little bit further if they were actually doing construction. I visited that rink as a member of capital investment about 4 years ago, and it did need major renovation when we were there. So thank you.
Thank you, Chair Carlson. Chair Loon.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to give you the discussion about the hockey tournament, but maybe that moment is
no, passed. That's certainly appropriate and valid, and yes.
Well, just when Mr. Carlson was up, I just was reflecting on my first year in the legislature in 2009. The Eden Prairie boys played the Moorhead Spuds, and
the Eagles.
I think we know how that turned out. So
I guess that's been clarified by Mr. Carlson. Yes. You'll notice he's probably at the game by now. Okay, and he should be. Thank you, Chair Loon. Vice Chair McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Ms. Dalton, but before I ask that, I want to give my support for Representative Olson's bill. I support it. I think I co-authored it to the hockey fan, and then also the brownies were excellent, my favorite treat. And then to note, before my question, Delano Tigers, for the first time, the Boys Tigers hockey team was in the tournament yesterday at this time, and we lost to Moose, the Monticello, Maple Lake, and Annandale. But it was the first time Delano was there. We had almost all 5,454 Delano fans and people there. It's a wonderful event.
Vice Chair, tell us that. 3-2 in overtime?
It was 3-2, not in overtime.
Not rubbing it in. I'm just
no. Back. You are correct. It was that was the score. We got ripped off a little. The ref took away one of our goals.
Oh, dear.
Technicality.
I hate it when that happens.
But
Vice Chair McDonald.
Anyway, thank you for rubbing it in, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Dalton. Zambonis, would that be considered an exemption or any parts and materials for operational of the facility?
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, Representative McDonald. Yes, as a purchase of a Zamboni would be exempt under this.
Vice Chair McDonald.
Thank you, Ms. Dalton. And Representative Olson.
Representative Perkos.
Well, I had a question for Mr. Carlson, but he left. I was just wondering if the tax exemption would apply to building some executive hospitality suites to be. No, just kidding.
Oh, okay. Chair Carlson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if they were talking about the hockey tournament, would like to point out that Wayzata is there and their home ice is the Plymouth Ice Arena.
And I believe they're in the tournament with the lowest number of wins, but they probably have the toughest.
They really come on apparently quite strongly. Now, I don't represent any of the Wayzata school district, but the rink that they use is the Plymouth rink that represents. Actually, the rink is in Representative Anderson's district, but there is a connection with Wayzata there and the state tournament, being that others have brought up the state tournament. I just thought I'd point that out. Thank you.
And in, okay.
With and that, and I'm a hockey fan, so I do watch that.
Any other discussion from members? We've had a very thorough hearing on this bill. I will renew my motion, House Bill 1978, as amended, be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you, Representative Olson.
Thank you.
Representative Schultz moves the minutes of March 8th, 20, and 17. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Okay, thank you, members. Item next. Let's 968, Chairman Nornes, if you could please join us, sir. So,
while we're waiting, I'll move the minutes.
Got her. Thank you.
We did?
Yep.
All right.
Plus, not Representative Schultz.
Oh, thank you.
So. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Perkos. And I misspoke. I believe the Delano was not the overtime game. The overtime game was Laverne and
Hermantown.
So Hermantown won.
As usual.
In overtime. Okay. Okay, very good. Okay, I will move House File 968 for Chair Nornes. I see no amendments at this point. Is there anyone in the audience which testify on behalf of this bill or with concerns on this bill?
Yeah, that's...
Representative Nornes, do you know what that means? The department would like to testify. Okay, you know what that means.
I do.
Okay, there we go. So please present your bill, sir.
Before I do that, just two quick comments. You start precisely on time. I was 30 seconds late. I apologize for that.
Representative Nornes, life belongs to those that show up.
I understand. And I thoroughly enjoyed the sports update. So
thank you.
All right.
Chair Nornes, to your bill.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'll be as brief as I can here. House File 968 is simplifying the bookkeeping requirements regarding the sales tax treatment of clay pigeons, or targets, not pigeons.
Targets.
Yeah. Pigeons, that's a different subject. Anyway, that are purchased by a hunting club or a shooting range. And to really make it understandable, I'd like to have my testifier from Otter Tail County, Les Bench, kind of fill in the details.
Okay, please state your name and who represents the record, please.
Good morning, committee. My name is Les Bench, Western Minnesota, Otter Tail County, owners of the Viking Valley Hunt Club. I've got two of my cohorts here also, Sean Eastman from Marsh Lake over by Chaska, and Chad Hughes from Wild Wings North up by Hugo. Interested, we had the Mohawk banquet last night with great attendance. The clay targets, we had a discussion way back in 2008 where Jack Manson, Deputy Commissioner Jack Manson, decided that the targets that we bought in as a supply item were taxable, and at resale they were taxable. We debated the point, and we suggested that this is a resale item. The tax is paid fully at the point of usage, and the simplification is we would like to just identify the entire cost of the event, and the tax is included in the targets and fully paid. So it's a matter of simplification or identifying this as a supply item, non-taxable, on receipt. Any questions?
Any questions? Okay, let's go to the department. Or did anybody else want to talk here? I think we understand the issue. Mr. Cummings?
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Cummings, please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Representative Nornes, and members. For the record, my name is Paul Cummings, and I'm the Tax Policy Manager at the Minnesota Department of Revenue. I did leave a message for Representative Nornes' office yesterday, so I hope he received it. Okay. This bill amends 297A.68 by adding a subdivision. It would allow clay targets to be exempt when purchased by hunting clubs and retailers in the business of selling admissions to shooting facilities, providing that they are used in providing a shooting experience on the premises of the hunting club or shooting facility, or sold at retail at the shooting club or shooting facility. Under current law, charges for admissions to shooting ranges are subject to sales tax. In addition, purchases of items that are provided as part of those admission charges, including clay pigeons, are also taxable. The shooting range is considered the consumer of the clay pigeons as they are initially buying the clay pigeons. When they are included as part of the admission charge, they are no longer reselling clay pigeons, they are selling a service, a taxable admission to an experience. Taxing items that are provided as part of an admission charge is not unique to shooting ranges, Mr. Chair. For example, golf courses may pay sales tax on their purchases of golf ball used on driving range and scorecards and pencils used in golfing.
Well, we're going to get rid of that.
Purchases of balls, hats, helmets by batting cage businesses are also subject to sales tax. A law change in 1997 clarified that items used to furnish or provide taxable amusement services cannot be purchased exempt for resale. Minnesota Statutes 297A.61 Subdivision 3G1 imposes sales tax, sales or use tax on charges for the admission. And Minnesota Statutes 297A.61 Subdivision 4H provides that tangible personal property used in furnishing or providing services under 3G1, including property given as promotional items, is not considered property for resale. Therefore, when clay pigeons are purchased as part of the taxable admission charge, the shooting range must pay sales or use tax on the cost of the clay pigeons. A tax on a tangible personal property and the charge of the entire admission charge, the tax on the privilege of admission. As mentioned before, when these items are included as part of the admission, they cannot be purchased exempt for resale. However, if the shooting range's business practices allow its customers the options of bringing in their own clay pigeons and also includes at a retail operation where they can actually sell clay pigeons to the customers, the shooting range could purchase the clay pigeons exempt for resale and charge sales tax on the sales to their customer. This means that the seller must transfer title or possession to the customer if they're going to separately state the cost of the clay pigeons to the customer. Merely separately billing the clay pigeons does not mean that the customer has taken possession of them, meaning they couldn't just buy them and bring them home. In most situations I've seen, the admission charge and the clay pigeons are bundled, meaning the clay pigeons are not resold. They are included as part of an indivisible privilege of admission. So as this bill moves through the process, Mr. Chair, we look forward to working with you and Representative Nornes and staff, and we thank you for the opportunity to be a resource today.
Thank you very much. Representative Huertas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Cummings, I'd just like to point out one thing that's quite different about this is that, unlike golf balls, which are reused hole after hole and retrieved and taken home, clay targets, if you're a good shot, become completely vaporized. And if you're not so good a shot, they become fragmented, but you don't take them home. It's really part of the practice or part of the service. And, Mr. Chair, I would also add that I've tournament hunted at Viking Valley in the past, and I think, as I recall that incident, our German shorthairs totally wiped out the wire shorthairs. They didn't stand a chance against a superior dog, so thank you.
And that's a fact.
That's a fact.
Questions from members? Okay, with that, I will renew my motion that House File 968 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you, Mr. Cummings. Thank you, Mr. Bench and Chair Nornes and others. 969, this is Representative Nornes' day at the Capitol. Okay, so we have, I will move House File 969. I see no amendments. Before we start, is there anyone in the audience who should testify on behalf of this bill? Anyone with concerns? Would the department like to testify on 969?
Yes.
Okay. So to your bill, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And life is complicated. I have a chair also needing some repair. So make note of that, would you?
Okay. Okay, to your bill, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and committee members. Well, this bill provides that game release fees are not subject to the sales tax as part of either the taxable price of admission to a game farm or hunting preserve, or the granting of membership in a club. Currently, the game release fees are taxable, although 75% of the charge may be tax-exempt if separately stated as the sale of food for human consumption. Again, that's very clear. But to clarify it even further, I'd like to again have us bench one of our area constituents elaborate.
Please state your name and who represents the record, please.
My name is Les Bench, Mr. Chair and Committee. This revenue notice was created in, I believe it was 2002, and the paragraph in 297A61 that it refers to is the privilege of admission to places that are amusement, recreational areas, and such, tanning facilities, reducing salons, steam baths, health clubs, and athletic facilities. We do not charge separately, or let's put it this way, we charge for a membership to the club, and this is fully taxable, but there is no such thing in our industry as game release charges. We sell an edible food product to our customers. They determine the point of delivery, whether they want to go and hunt it, what type of delivery they would like on that product. It's defined, again, in 297A61 as an agricultural product exemption under poultry. It is an edible product, a delicacy product, raised in the best of conditions, and we consider this a food product exempt under statutory law 297A61 as a food product. It is not part of a game release charge. That is a fictitious term that we do not use in the industry. We charge admission, fully taxable, but this is not a taxable item in our estimation.
Thank you. We're talking pheasants.
Okay. Kind of tastes like chicken. Yeah. Okay. Any questions for members? We're going to have the department come down then, unless there's questions. Mr. Cummings, please. Mr. Cummings, when do you prepare all this stuff? I mean, you're always so well prepared and do such a good job. Like, are you up till like 2 in the morning every morning?
Bills many times.
Oh, he keeps them from previous years. Oh, and just pulls
That's
them off.
What I would say.
Okay. Please state your name and who represents the record, please, sir.
Mr. Chair, and members, I think what Representative Erickson was trying to remind the committee, but not in so much of a blunt way, is that we're on year 3 now. So we're going to... I have not stopped believing,
Mr.
Chair.
Rub it in.
I have not stopped believing, and we will continue to work with you in order to make sure that we have the best product possible for Minnesotans.
Thank you, Mr. Cummings.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nornis, and members, for the record, my name is Paul Cummings, and I'm the Tax Policy Manager at the Minnesota Department of Revenue. This bill amends Minnesota Statutes 297A to exempt from sales tax release fees or other charges for pen-raised game or poultry by a game farm or hunting preserve. Currently, admission or membership fees charged by game farms, shooting preserves, and hunting clubs are taxable. Minnesota Statute 297A.61 includes within the definition of taxable sales charges for admissions to places of amusement and recreational sales. A taxable sale also includes, under Minnesota statutes, memberships and organization when a membership is required to use the organization's sports facilities. Consequently, all admission or membership fees charged by game farms, shooting preserves, and hunting clubs for the privilege of entering into the premises for recreational hunting are subject to the Minnesota sales and use tax. All gross receipts, including separately stated game release charges, are taxable as part of the admission or membership fees. The department has taken the position, as mentioned by Mr. Bench, that game release charges are part of the fees paid for admission to an amusement or recreational area, but that up to 75% of the amount billed as the game release charges may be exempt from sales tax as a sale of exempt food item if the bird or animal are intended for human consumption. To be exempt from the sales tax, the portion of the charge allocated to the sale of food must be stated separately from the game release charges on the invoice to the customer. If the charge for the exempt food item is not stated separately, the entire game release charge is to the customer is taxable. Mr. Chair, these are bundled transactions. In most cases, you are not able to purchase a bird without purchasing the privilege of admission to a shooting preserve. So you could not go in to a hunting club and saying, I'd like to pick up a pheasant for my home so I can cook it. You would actually need to have that is bundled as part of the privilege of admission. This is not like going to the store to buy poultry. The purchase of this bird cannot be unbundled with the privilege of admission. Mr. Chair, sometimes for ball games, they advertise that you can get a T-shirt as part of coming to the ball field. You cannot buy the T-shirt separately. It cannot be unbundled with the price of admission and is not separately stated on the ticket. It would be hard to make the argument that because T-shirts are not taxable, then that part of the privilege of admission should not be taxable. Ensuring taxable admissions are treated in a consistent manner is important. And, Mr. Chair, as this bill moves through the process, we look forward to working with you and other members of the Tax Committee and Representative Nornes. We appreciate the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you, Mr. Cummings. Questions for members? Representative Hertas and then Metsa. Representative Hertas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I haven't eaten a T-shirt lately when I've gone to a game, but you know, most of the hunt clubs, Mr. Cummings, actually do allow you to purchase a bird. And in fact, the way it's changed over the last couple of decades is birds are basically exchanged at the end of a hunt, and you take them home cleaned, packaged, and frozen. So you don't take them home fresh. You just turn the birds in that you hunted, and you exchange them for prepared and packaged food process. So there's been times where regardless of how successful you are, you still can purchase the birds, and you can even purchase more than you hunted for.
Thank you. Mr. Cummings.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, so under law, both clothing and food are exempt. So we don't place a priority on which one is more exempt. They both are exempt from taxation in most cases. Obviously, there are, you know, candy is taxable, and, you know, Snickers is, but not Twix. But you're finding that both of those are exempt. One is not more exempt than the other. And as we were talking to various game farms out there, we asked multiple times, can you go in to buy a bird without buying the privilege of admission? And the answer repeatedly was no. You need to buy the privilege of admission in order to go in and buy poultry. Or whatever that person is buying. So in our estimation, that is a bundled transaction. You cannot buy one without the other. So that is why those are the types of facts that we were looking into. If there is a legislative, if the legislature would like to direct something differently in terms of how that's done, then, you know, we, of course, would be open to that discussion. But that is the way that we're reading it. Representative Hertas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess with both respects to clothing and food, some clothing is taxable.
That's right.
As is some food is taxable if it's cooked and prepared for you as well. But just making that distinction,
yeah.
A lot of the sporting clothing is fully taxable.
Thank you, Representative Hertas. Representative Metsa.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to say, Representative Cummings, as always, you do a fantastic job presenting and piggybacking off of you, Mr. Chair. God, he's a bundle of joy, isn't he?
Both from Grove City, what can you say?
I'm just a resource.
Just a resource. Very good resource.
Vice Chair McDonald. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Metsa, did you say Mr. Cummings was a bundle of joy or you know, baby?
Representative Metsa.
Oh.
Mr. Chair, I would always say, and Representative McDonald, both.
Okay,
both.
Very, very good answer.
That wasn't my question. See, a question for Mr. Cummings or Mr. Michaels, just regarding the purchase of the birds. I have a cousin, Bill McDonald, who owns Wings of Watertown on the old McDonald Farm in Hollywood Township, Minnesota, where my father was raised and 10 siblings. And currently has the green farm there. Do they pay sales tax on the birds? A point of purchase at the time? And that wasn't a shameless plug, by the way. I legitimately had a question for Ms. Dalton.
Ms. Dalton.
Did I say Wings of Watertown?
Mr. Chair, Representative McDonald, according to the department's revenue notice, purchases of live birds and animals are exempt.
Very good, thank you.
Okay, other questions? I have, yes, any other questions?
Mr. Chair, if I could just clarify one item.
Quickly.
We do state separately the charges of the pheasant, the food product, on the invoices. It is not part of the admission. We prefer not to sell the birds because then it gets into DNR regulations and rules, because once that bird is released, it becomes a wild animal, and under the DNR statutory laws and regulations.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bench. Any other questions for Mr. Bench or Mr. Cummings?
or Chair Nornes. I will renew my motion that House File 969 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Tax Bill. Thank you, Chair Nornes. Thank you, Mr. Bench. Item next, I will move House File 1304. Chairman Swedzinski.
Hello, Mr. Chair.
How are you, sir?
Doing great. Thanks for letting me come before you today.
Welcome to the committee, and if you could please present your bill. But, excuse me, before we do that, is there anyone which testify on behalf of this bill or with concerns of this bill? Okay, to your testimony, sir.
Mr. Chair, yes. We had a few folks, but they potentially are tied up commenting on other bills in other places as we speak.
At the Excel Center, I'm sure.
Yes, yes. Anyway, so House File...
Chair Swedzinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 1304 is pretty straightforward. It simply adds grain bins to the list of accepted tax-exempt farm machinery purchases. The reason this bill is being moved forward is last year I had worked on a bill around creating an addendia account for grain elevators when they were closing, and I was going to use this particular source of revenue to fund that grain addendia account. Met some resistance from ag groups because they felt that this was actually a goal of theirs to rid themselves of this burden on their agricultural productive activities. And so this year, coming around, realizing there was a fairly large wall, and using those funds, we decided that maybe we should go forth with the work of getting rid of that particular sales tax. And that's what this bill does.
Questions from members? Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Swedzinski. I'm always amazed what we classify as the personal property and other things to be taxed. In reality, a grain bill, in almost all cases, is a permanent structure that's built, and why we would treat it differently as personal property is always amazing to me. So I really do support your bill, and thank you for bringing it forward.
Questions for members? Did the department wish to weigh in on this?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cummings. Okay, with that, I'll renew my motion that House File 1304 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Tax Bill. Thank you, Chair Swedzinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, item next would be Representative McDonald. Vice Chair McDonald, is the A1 amendment yours?
Yes, it is, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Vice Chair McDonald moves House File 1360. Vice Chair McDonald moves H1360A1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, members. Okay, to your bill, sir, as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 1360 is an attempt to continue the fight on aquatic invasive species and help those homeowners and lakeshore associations who are doing so. As many of you are aware, we have the legacy amendment, and the sales tax is partly attributed to clean water in Minnesota. And so this particular bill would offer a point-of-purchase sales exemption on certain herbicides used for fighting aquatic invasive species. We thought it best to keep that money in the homeowners' pockets instead of paying the tax, send it to St. Paul, and then they mix it up, and then they send it back to help fight clean water. Keep it in the homes, the pockets of those who are fighting it, so they can have a little bit more money to fight the aquatic invasive species and save money as they point of purchase on the herbicides, specifically for fighting that product, or the species. With that, I have a testifier who has a little brief testimony, and I'll turn it back over to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Vice Chair McDonald. Before we get going with the testimony, is there anyone in the audience which testified on behalf of this bill, other than the person that's at the desk? Anyone with concerns? Did I ask the department on this one? You're fine on this one?
Well,
not fine, but no testimony at this time. Okay. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jeff Forster, and I am the Executive Director of Minnesota Lakes and Rivers Advocates. And our membership is made up of lake associations in Minnesota and lake home and cabin owners in the state. There's about 500 lake associations in Minnesota, and they do a lot of work on the lakes, putting out buoys, keeping boat landings open for use by removing the milfoil at the landings or the curly leaf pond weed. This would just be a recognition of the work that they're doing. You know, it's the public waters, but often the expense of managing the public waters are private. So I have a letter here from Elaine and Bob Fleskis, and I believe they're in your district. And, they're with the Lake John Association, and with your permission, I'll just read it. It's short.
Certainly.
Since the year 2014, Lake John Association in Wright County spent a total of $41,175 to fight invasive species. The money comes from property owners, and half of them do not live on the lake full-time. This heavy burden falls on us. We are often reminded that the waters are public. Well, the waters may be public, but the cost to keep them open for public use are private. It would at least help if we did not have to pay sales tax on chemicals to fight the invasives. It's only going to get worse with study stonewort discovered on Lake Sylvia, which is right next door to our lake. Thanks for listening, Elaine and Bob Fleskis.
Thank you, Mr. Forrester. Questions on the bill? Chair Anderson S.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative McDonald, I just want to say this is a great bill, and I fully support it. In my district, I have a lot of waterways, and it's all the homeowners that take care of it. And so I appreciate you giving them this relief.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. Thank you. Yes. Lead Marquardt.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I don't know if this is for the author, Mr. Forster. Have you thought about including lake improvement districts in on this, which are, of course, different from associations? So just your thoughts. I mean, because the lake improvement districts, I don't know, there used to be about 15 of them around the state. There might be more, but they actually have taxing jurisdiction over areas where associations, it's voluntary payments and so forth. And I would think that they would also be very interested, and they would have plans to fight, you know, the AIS and so forth. So just your thoughts on that.
Let's go to Ms. Dalton on that. Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, Representative Marquardt, lake improvement districts are part of the special districts that have an exemption already for their purchases, so this would be covered already.
Lead Marquardt?
Mr. Chair, Ms. Dalton, thank you. Always one or two or three steps or more ahead.
You are very effective, Lead Marquardt. Just got us so they don't pay sales tax on it.
Thank you.
Okay, questions. We go to Chair Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative McDonald, thank you, because I've had to work with several of our lake shore owners, lake property owners, regarding the situation and getting the DNR out there to see what's happening to some of these lakes, and some of the owners can't even get out of their shoreline onto the lake without having their propellers being all tangled up in milfoil. Is it still up to the DNR to decide how much of the lake that can be treated?
Mr. Forster?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative, it is by permit. So this would only apply to treatments that are permitted by the DNR, and they have formulas for how many acres you can treat and what percentage of the lake and things like that. So it's still, wouldn't change that.
Mr. Chair, I think it's good for people to realize that. I know the last time I dealt with the DNR, it was like 15%. That is what they start at. And I went out with the DNR to one of our lakes, and the lake was just being overrun by Asian milfoil. And I said, well, who has to purchase these chemicals? And the lake shore owner president says, well, the lake shore owners have to purchase. And I said, well, who has to apply these chemicals, hire the company to apply these chemicals? Well, the lake shore owners have to do that. So I looked at the DNR people that were on the pontoon with us, because we went out on a pontoon, and I said, well, it looks like they're doing all your work. And the homeowners just wanted to be able to treat more of their lakes so they could get rid of the invasive species. And I turned to the senator that was with me. I said, Senator, it looks like we need some new legislation here. But the very next week, they got a new permit to do 75% of their lake. I think sometimes you need to get the DNR out there to see what's going on with these lakes and let them take pictures and whatever, and I think new permits will come out. So thank you for this bill.
And I believe that where I live, Fillmore County is the only county in the state that doesn't have a lake, so I'm not really sure what we're talking about here, but it sounds like we need to do something. Rosham Kosnick.
Thank you, Chair Davids. And on behalf of the great people of the city of Lakeville, we would encourage you to visit our fine town, Chair Davids. If we have a number of lakes, so Representative Downs, I also appreciate this bill.
Thank you.
Do you ask a question?
No. You're welcome to come visit Lakeville.
I'll be there. I'll be there. I love Lakeville, the Panthers and the Cougars.
That's right.
Yes. Okay, I've just been corrected, and so that's why I was, you know, I was stunned that I made an error. And
no.
So for the record,
meeting, so.
Fillmore County has no lakes, but we do have surface water in the mighty Rip River and others. Rock County has no surface water. Ms. Dalton?
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
What do they drink? Joe's big pipe. That's right. Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Hertaus.
Well, since you only make one mistake a year, you've got a long ways to go until next year now. So you got 9 months.
March. Ooh, it's going to be tough. Okay, questions to the author or the witness? Okay, I will renew my Vice Chair McDonald renews his motion that House Bill 1360 has amended be labeled for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you. Representative McDonald.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to point out to members, you know we have a great PAGE program here, and they are always enamored and delighted to be here, and oftentimes they meet with each and every one of us as much as we can and tell them about the beautiful thing of government. Well, Mr. Forrester, my friend here to my left, right? His daughter.
Oh, he's to your left.
He's to my left. Let me turn around. To my left, his daughter was a page this week, so if you see the pages, you can stop and say hello, and maybe Mr. Forrester, you could just mention what your daughter's name, and she's delighted to be here this week.
Billy Forrester.
Mr.
Chair, members of the committee, Billy Forrester from Southwest High School. In Minneapolis.
Cardinals.
Lakers. She's a proud parent
of a Laker.
Two former Lakers.
Will Chamberlain. Okay.
What a great bill for this.
With that, we will go to Mr. Cummings, who has an announcement, an introduction to make for the committee members. Thank you, Mr. Forrester. Go Lakers. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, my name is Paul Cummings, and I'm the Tax Policy Manager at the Minnesota Department of Revenue.
Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, I'm here to introduce Khaled. And Khaled is working. He's our temporary legislative coordinator through the rest of this session. And many of you know Leslie Thompson. Leslie Thompson is temporarily out of the office. She remains a very valued member of our legislative and commissioner's office team and will continue to be the point of contact with the Department of Revenue. But through the rest of this session, Khaled is going to be working to partner with many of you on whether it's constituent concerns, whether it's issues that you have that you wanted to bring up to the Department of Revenue, or whether it is any other sort of inquiry that you might have. I also wanted to state that I know many of you and staff have many points of contact within the department, so I'm not trying to say please don't continue to use those avenues. I just wanted to open up another avenue to you. So with that, I wanted to introduce Khaled, and maybe I told him that he needs to be ready with his high school mascot, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Khaled, please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Khaled, and I am the legislative coordinator for the Minnesota Department of Revenue.
And where do you go to high school?
Apple Valley.
Oh, my gosh. I should have
that out. Eagles!
Is it?
Yeah.
Just like Eden Prairie. Oh, the Eagles?
Yep.
Awesome.
Good wrestling team.
Now, just a little bit of advice.
State champion wrestling team.
They won this time?
They beat Anoka in the finals.
Easy.
How much? Oh, easy with Anoka.
6 points. 6 points. It was like one match.
State champions in 90.
Okay.
Representative Chair, my brother is in the wrestling team, so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Ooh, his brother.
Awesome. That's great. But please, just a bit of advice from the chair. Just please always remember this is not a committee. It is an adventure. And welcome. We're very happy that you're here. We're very happy that you're here. Okay, item last. Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Cummings, and thanks, Kelly. Okay, so I have House File 363. And this was in the House File 848, I believe. This is very simply. So I will move House File 363. There's no amendments. And members, this is very simply not charging sales tax on snowmobile grant and aid trails. So with that, is there anyone wish to testify on behalf of the bill? Anyone with concerns? Would the department like to testify?
We're done for today.
Questions for members? Congressman Metza.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is an important thing to bring forward, so I appreciate you doing that. Our clubs are often run by folks who are doing the work for free, although we found many of them have to hire themselves through a city to be covered on insurance and go through a lot of extra effort. They, in fact, in my area, have been donating those incomes back to the club then, and so I think this is a great way of helping out, and you know, hopefully later this year we'll have enough funding to grant a bill that Representative Lewick and I have been working on for about 4 years, adding $250,000 into the groomer account as well, so that we can keep our folks maintained and hopefully sell our old groomers to the state of Wisconsin so that Minnesota State Trails remain better.
As they are, and I know the distinguished members that are co-authors on this bill. So, with that, any other questions? Thank you very much. I will move that House File 363 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Anything else, members, for the good of the order? I want to thank all the members for their work today and every day. With that, good government all the time. We are adjourned.